AM.
It's Pendulette and Michael Godot here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
It is.
We're sitting here in Vintage Nude Studio, inundated with Gmails.
Waste deep in Gmail.
We are lousy with Gmails. I mean, it's our Gmail address is penradio@gmail.com. That's PENNRADIO. at gmail.com. And the reason is, maybe it's just coincidental.
Yeah, it could be.
But the reason is that we said we were going to give some DVDs away. And I thought, you know, the rate that we were getting Gmails, the rate we were getting them, we would be able to give them to everybody that wrote in. That's just not true. We are now have gotten enough Gmails. We are now past the printing.
We are no longer giving away DVDs.
Well, we might still. Because, see, my plan is not to just cut it off. All those people that just wrote, please give me a DVD, which I think is all I said you had to do. But I'm changing the rules because I'm a capricious God. I think it's going to be people that we like read it on the air or say something really cool. Because some of the Gmail, and you know, at first I was hurt. At first I said, oh, these people don't want to write to us unless we offer them something.
Right.
And then I thought about it a little more and said, how incredibly narcissistic and solipsistic is it to think that people would just be listening? We're in the background,
When do you listen to the radio?
Rarely.
But in your car.
In the car. And when I listen to the radio in the car, you're not able to write a Gmail or
exactly
call.
Right.
And even if you could, even if you're sitting at a desk, you're like working. I don't think there are many people that just listen to the radio when they listen to the radio. There's other stuff going on. Radio is the mother of multitasking. You know, it's supposed to be on in the background, and that's our job, to be on the background. And then we say something, which is called in the direct sales, which is what infomercials are called, direct sales. It's called the call to action. That's what makes people pick up the phone.
Because,
you know, my wife used to do... infomercials for golf.
Right.
She was golf infomercials.
Yes, she was.
That's what she did. So when we were talking for a while, we talked to this company about maybe doing a Penn and Teller direct sales thing, infomercial thing for like a magic kit or something. And it seemed like an okay idea.
Not for golf stuff.
but she was talking about, she was looking over the thing and saying, where's your call to action? I just think that it's great that infomercials have something called cult. So the call to action for the Penn Jillette Show was get a free DVD,
right.
Which is, I don't think is the call to action. I think it's write a Gmail now, Penn Radio. And if you write now, we'll also
send you a DVD.
It's good you brought that up.
Not today.
We might send you a DVD. But if we do send you a DVD, if you are one of the, whatever it's going to be, 50, 75 people that we send DVDs to, you're not just going to get the regular DVD.
No?
You know, because if you go, and those of you that are just sitting in a computer and are just trying to kill time or eating lunch or something, you can go to Amazon or whatever online sales thing you use for DVDs, which is Amazon. And do a search for The Aristocrats. You'll find one British soap opera from 10 years ago that was called The Aristocrats. It's on a DVD.
Do not make the mistake and purchase that instead.
No.
You
might. Who knows? I'm not saying no. It might be great. It might be a fabulous thing. But I never was interested. And then there's one by Penn Jillette and Paul Prevenza, The Aristocrats. And up will pop the cover. And it's about time I talked about the cover. And I'm gonna try to be honest about the cover.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not gonna try to, like, in some places I've gone off half cocked. I would say in LA on stage for the Q&A, which was being filmed, I think I went off maybe quarter cocked, maybe eighth cocked.
Mm-hmm.
Overstated my case and with a lack of concern for fellow human beings.
Okay.
Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I go off half-cocked.
Sometimes. That's another of your defining qualities was my general assessment of that.
Half-cocked pen.
Half-cocked pen.
Half-cocked
That's pen. What we call you behind your back, yeah.
I could get a tattoo to my arm, half-cocked pen. So I went off half-cocked, but I wasn't the only one. Sarah Silverman was half-cocked. Andy Dick was half-cocked. Jason Alexander
came half-cocked. Andy Dick was born half-cocked.
Well, some were born half-cocked. The rest of us were half-cocked. It was Andy Dick, Jason Alexander, Bob Saget, Paul Prevenza, and me, who were all in this Aristocrats thing. And they showed us the cover. And I'd seen the cover in mock-ups, you know. But now it was up there on a big on stage. It was on stage on a big blow-up.
PowerPoint or something?
Not PowerPoint. It wasn't even PowerPoint. It was like they had a. They went to Kinko's
Lionel?
And got this big. No, it was cardboard. It was on cardboard. It was bigger than I'd seen it before. I'd seen it on my computer screen.
Right.
Which is where you're going to see it if you go to Amazon. And you want to do your pre-order. Even if we're going to give you one, pre-order one anyway, because you can always give it away. It's a great gift. And and they, I don't know, somehow it came as a surprise to Think Film that they were putting out the DVD. They negotiated for it at Sundance.
Right.
They talked about it, right. But then we came down to the wire, and these are the three covers we have a choice of, you know. And I always want to go austere, you know. My idea of a cover of everything is, you know, at the Rio, it should just say Penn and Teller, you know, plain type. Black and white, and our set should be
the White Album. You really are just that guy.
The White Album
was perfect for you.
Perfect album cover. It's great. So I know that I'm an idiot. I know that the ideas that I have for covers, like the first season of BS, had this. It's white with the ampersand member, and I thought it was really, really classy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they sold okay. And then the second season came out, and it was like yellow and garish. It was cluttered, and I got my mouth hanging open and my eyes, you know, all popped up. And I thought that the cover was just sucked.
Right.
I hated the cover, right? And then everybody in our office who is, like, you know, not really old, you know, everybody in our office that's, like, a reasonable age, like in their 20s,
sure.
Like Laura, you know, everybody that has more than, let's say, 8 piercings on their body, you know, Laura, who, right. Laura, you know, Laura is my idea of somebody who, you know, knows what's happening in the world. She goes to the right concerts, and, you know, she always looks. When the USA Today, about 3 years ago, USA Today had this list of things that you could not do if you were an employee, things that were unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And what I loved about Laura is every single one of them she was. You know, no piercings on your face, no eccentric hair dye, no ripped clothing, no, you know, all that stuff. She did them all, and I was very proud of that. So Laura looks at the cover for the second year.
Yeah.
Of BS when it came out. And the second year is better than the first year. Mm-hmm. The first year had all these subjects that were really close to my heart, but the second year I think is funnier.
We have better writing, I think.
Yeah, better writing in the second year. And did we win something for that writing the second year?
Writers Guild, I believe.
Okay. Did we win something the third year?
No. But we were nominated.
Did we win?
No. But we're nominated again this year for Writers Guild Award.
Well, that would be the third year, isn't it? Isn't that the third year?
Yeah.
First year. So there was a third year we're nominated, second year we won, right? And we could still win on the third year.
Yes, it's coming up.
Okay. But anyway, this is a good show. And the cover, I just really hate it. And it comes in, and Laura, who I trust so much more than myself, right?
Right.
Because, you know, she's a consumer, and she's younger, and she knows.
She's hooked in.
She loved the cover.
Loved
it. She thought it was great. And the cover sells better. And when I see people come to our show, they think that's a better cover. You know, they think you can ask them, which is and the first one is like my dream. You know, red ampersand and just me and Teller and, you know, just Penn and Teller BS, which it doesn't say, but the whole words and just clear, you know.
Right.
And the second one is just cluttered. And so I've tried to give them some slack. So Think Film waits until, you know, the last minute because they didn't know a year before that, oh, we spent this money to buy it to put it on a DVD. We're actually going to do it. And then maybe they didn't know. They're Canadian.
Right.
Maybe they don't know there's going to be a cover. You know, I don't know.
They're just going to hand it out. Here's your DVD.
I would say there's a cover and a minimum on this one.
Okay, yeah.
And so they start sending us DVD covers. And I don't like it.
At random? Yeah. Or ones that relate to your movie?
Ones that relate to
the
movie.
Okay.
And I look at them, you know, and I don't trust myself at all. I have no visual sense. You know, everything to me is a radio show. I don't care at all about what things look like. That's why Teller, you know, runs the show. And I look at I don't like any of them. And Provenza is like apoplectic. He just, you know, he's screaming on the phone. He doesn't like them. And I must admit I raised my voice as well and used obscenity, which is fine. When you're one of the creators of the Aristocrats and you're talking to someone who spent money for the Aristocrats, it seems using the vilest obscenity is mandatory.
I don't imagine anyone would be offended or surprised.
No, so I was screaming obscenity about how this album, how this DVD cover looked. And they just kept saying they were doing testing and stuff. So we come out, and if you've gone to Amazon and typed in The Aristocrats and got the Penn Jillette Paul Provenza one, you may be looking at it now. But for those of you who are listening to the radio, It's a picture of a door with two people inside the door and pink and garish green. It says the Aristocrats. And then there's this dog in the bottom corner. Now, because people in the Aristocrats are telling the dirtiest joke they can, and because it's very sexual and very disgusting, it does include a dog. But there's a picture of a dog on the cover. And it looks to me...
perhaps the defining moment in the film, isn't it? The dog.
It looks to me like the cover of, like, Pretty in Pink or something. I mean, it looks, wasn't that the 80s?
Yeah.
The 80s was all Pretty in Pink. It looks like pink, which as a color I like. My cars are pink. I like the color pink. But on the album cover, I mean, the New York Times said this was the second greatest film of the year.
Okay.
They loved it, okay? NPR loved it, right?
It's on a lot of lists.
It's on a lot of lists.
A lot of lists.
And it's a documentary, and although it's about the dirtiest joke and it's really, really funny, it is, I would say, wouldn't you say, ultimately an intellectual movie? You're not going to say that?
By requirement it is. I mean, you can't show any of the stuff you're talking about. It has to all happen in your head.
It's intellectual.
You have to think about it.
So it's it doesn't
pivot on the dog, but...
It doesn't pivot on the dog. It's got nothing. The dog is in passing at best.
Part of the intellectual things, you have to let me interpret it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So
it's on the dog.
Okay. So maybe there's a dog. So I don't know if this cover is good or bad. I just know that every person that I know dislikes the
Laura?
Cover. Laura said it was the worst cover she'd ever seen.
Wow. There you go. She's hooked in and she said it was bad.
And she was laughing. Which maybe is good. Maybe is good. So
maybe she was just being a good employee.
But what I'd like you to do,
this
is something that'll definitely. You mean she knew that she was just saying that?
She was just saying it for you, yeah.
Are you saying that she's a toady? I mean, you're the toady.
Well, she didn't make it in any of the other requirements. She had the face piercings. She's going to keep her job in corporate America. She has to learn to do a little. But
we are corporate America.
That's right. That's why she has to kind of kiss your butt and say, no, this looks terrible. Maybe she loves it.
Maybe she loves it.
She's a dog fan.
What do you think of the cover?
It sucks. It's a cute dog, though.
You know, Bob Cornrevere, my good buddy, Bob Cornrevere.
Now you're bringing your attorney in?
Okay,
I love the cover. I'm sorry.
He was telling this story about his friend who wrote the book on Lenny Bruce, the great book about the court trials and stuff.
Sure.
He was saying that he wasn't happy with his cover. And I said, you want to talk about being unhappy with the cover? Come in here. And I brought him into my dressing room and opened up my computer, went to Amazon, did the Aristocrats, brought it up. And Bob said he was done with the story. His story did not match this. So it might be a great cover. And the thing is, it is a great movie. And, I mean, I was the producer of this movie. I got the idea with Provenza.
Right.
Provenza did all the works. When I first saw the movie, I was just gobsmacked by how fabulous it was. It was just a fabulous movie. And I've been blown away by it. And I know the review in the New York Times was this huge love letter and stuff. And I don't read reviews with my name in it. But this one, I saw parts of it. And it's like we wrote it. I mean, it really... the Aristocrats is the closest to, like, my heart being poured out on the screen. And Provenza did it.
Right.
You know, when I pour my heart out, it's not honest and direct.
He poured it onto Provenza and he fixed it.
Yeah, he fixed it. And Provenza is such a great job, and it's just a rocking great movie, and I expected the cover to be like something I would go, whoa, look at this, and say to Moxie when she grew up, you know, this is what Dad did, and I end up with this dog with pink lettering.
If only you were in charge.
But
if you were actually the boss.
I was in charge.
Know, if you had made the movie or something.
I am the boss. I made the movie.
Maybe you could say, I don't like that cover.
No, but that's the thing. You have to try to be reasonable, you know? You scream.
You hate the cover. I think you hating the cover is enough. That you don't have to be reasonable. If you thought, I don't like the cover, maybe that's reasonable to put it on, but you hate the cover. Tell them you don't like the cover.
What they said to me was...
You want me to call them?
They said, can you come up with something better?
That's
what they did. That was the
that
problem.
Old trick.
But it's not unreasonable. I mean, I don't know what...
You've lost it.
I don't have to come up with something better. That's not my job. I didn't say in Sundance during the meetings and the negotiations, and not only that, I'll design the cover. And they said, you know, we'll get it.
What's Lauren doing today? Did she redesign the cover?
She would just have a big picture of
maybe it'd be piercings.
Hugh Jackman. She would have a big picture of Hugh Jackman.
There you go.
That would
you've
sell.
Done it.
So anyway,
now
if you
solved the
if
problem.
You see an album cover that's a lot worse than the Aristocrats, I'm sure they're out there. Send it to me because that'll definitely get
this
you.
This can be our contest.
That'll definitely get you a DVD. And the DVD that you get, I did this, and I think that I did this because I'm petty, spiteful, and not a team player. I think I should be very ashamed of this, but.
There's no pen in team.
I got stickers made.
Right.
I had Laura and Farley's great. Farley's the kind of the brains behind the Aristocrats. Yes. All the stuff that goes on.
The person will be mailing you your DVDs.
She'll be mailing
you
Farley, and she also did. You know, she was involved in being John Malkovich.
Wow.
She's been involved in good movies. She worked with Michael Stipe, or Stipes, which is it singular
one
or plural?
Of those. Yes.
Richard Richards.
Yeah, it's singular or plural, yeah.
I don't know.
I agree.
I don't like names. It could either be. Anyway, Michael Stipe. She's great. Okay, I'm so upset about this because I want to be fair and honest and think film. You know, they bought the film. They've been working with us. They're really working hard. They want to do the best cover, you know. So I also feel horrible saying that the cover sucks, and maybe it doesn't. But if you have a worse cover, send it to me. What I did that was so petty, that would be penradio@gmail.com.
Yeah, just send us a link. To a picture of one.
Yeah, we'd like
we'll
to
take
see.
A look at it. If it's uglier than the Aristocrats,
we'll say. But also, I got stickers made, and the stickers are just. I think they're going to be red.
Are they huge?
The stickers are the size of a DVD cover,
uh-huh.
A little bit smaller, and they just say, you know, the Aristocrats hit film by Penn Jillette and Paul Provenza, and they did 104 comedians, no nudity, no violence, unspeakable obscenity, New York Times top 10, all that stuff. It says all the
right.
Stuff I'm supposed to say, just in plain type with no dog. And then at the bottom it says, this edition includes this special sticker that covers up the cover that Penn is not fond of. So I'm going to stick those. I couldn't bring myself. You know, Teller, the Penn & Teller like gift shop
right.
At the Rio where we play has all the Penn & Teller products. And, you know, we try to kind of go to each other and say, is it okay if I, you know, Teller put out this really classy book, you know.
Right.
I mean, David P. Abbott was this magician in the early 20th century. And Teller put out this, you know, two-volume set, huge and classy. It's like $200 or something. And it's all the work. And it's beautifully done. It's designed great. And that's out there in the case, and people can buy that there. Plus, you know, the BS and the books that we wrote, you know, how to cheat at poker and all this great classy stuff. And then I get a bring to Teller. Oh, and this is mine with pink and a dog, you know. So I'm going to, and this is probably petty and wrong, and probably gives me this image in Hollywood of not being a team player, but I try to be. You know that.
I try to be a team player,
sure.
Yeah, people get emails saying, you know, where can I see it again? Amazon.com.
Yeah, Amazon.com,
The Aristocrats,
and search for it, and order it. It's great. I mean, you'll never be sorry. It's a fabulous That's a team player. I mean, I don't even have to fake that. It's a great movie. Think Phil, put it out.
Bad
give
cover.
Them money. I'm not happy with the cover. So I have this sticker made that says, covers up the...
And covers up the cover.
I'm going to put the sticker on every DVD we sell at the Penn & Teller show. I'm not going to. Laura's going to. So the sticker goes on. And I'm also, when I send them out to friends and people in the Aristocrats, I'm going to put the sticker on, too. They can still see the other cover if they want it. And as a matter of fact, if you buy the cover, and I'll get an address. The Spicoli and Crasher were supposed to give me this address, but they didn't. I'll give you an address. You can send me the cover, and I'll stick a sticker on it. And also, if you care about this, Provenza and me will both sign. I'll get Provenza to sign it. He'll do anything.
Sure.
So me and Provenza, you'll have an autographed copy. If you buy the DVD of The Aristocrats and send just the cover, don't send the whole thing to me, not the jewel case, just the whole, just the cover to me, I'll slap on a sticker, Provenza and I will sign it, we'll send it back to you. Because if you agree, I'm going to look at some other covers and try to calm down. This is Penn Jillette. We'll be back after this. PennRadio@gmail.com. It might be a beautiful cover. I mean, history, Moxie will get to be six and go, oh, this is the greatest cover ever, Daddy. You're so cool. Or she won't. I don't know. Vin Diesel is the pacifier. This Navy SEAL meets his match. We're at Amazon now looking at bad DVE covers.
Yeah, Frank sent that in to us.
Frank sent that in. Frank's getting a DVD. Put him on the
absolutely
list.
Absolutely, he is.
Like he's in with my family now. Vin Diesel's in The Pacifier. There's a DVD cover that is repulsive. But I don't know. I think that the cover... And all I said was, you know, a cover that's worse. And it's true, it's worse. But this cover, I bet, is representational of a really lousy movie. I bet that this movie is about a Navy SEAL who's, you know, having
juggling.
It's like Mr. Mom, or, you know,
yeah,
juggling with ducks. Okay, I guess the duck is there. I think it's more representative. We're going to give Frank a DVD, no doubt about it. But I mean, the problem with the Aristocrats cover is that the DVD contained therein is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful, powerful, classy thing. And The Pacifier may not be, or maybe it is a great movie, and I'm judging it. Oh, no! Oh, no!
What?
I was just judging. I didn't see The Pacifier. I was judging it by the cover.
Oh, no. Judge a DVD.
Exactly my point. And now I'm guilty of the very thing I'm imploring America not to do.
You are. You see?
Fearing not.
Your fears have been realized. Your cover sucks. No one's going to buy your DVD. Oh, here's a good one. Michael Flatley's Lord of the Dance DVD.
Okay.
That's...
See, but Lord of the Dance, that's another one. I want to see, how about this, just for fun, and I'm not saying that our cover is bad because I think that I'm contractually obligated not to say that, but I would like to see a great movie with a terrible cover, because Lord of the Dance, let me just type this in here, Lord of the Dance, and see what comes up. Oh, Jesus.
You thought I was kidding, didn't you?
Oh, Jesus. God, cheese and rice. Look at that. Now this, oh man, no matter how bad the Michael Flatley collection is, the cover has got to be worse. This is the 10th anniversary edition. He's in a leather bolero outfit. Oh man, with an Amish hat and bolero and his pants. Oh man, his pants. He's kind of working some sort of like Tom Jones bulge. Not that I'm looking there, but the franchise collection. Oh, this is just, these are other people dancing. So at least they're telling you he's not in it. Okay, that's...
Well, here's another... Well, that's an album, okay, though. You can't use that, really.
What is that one?
Songs for Gay Dogs is the name of the album.
Yeah, but that's trying to be a joke.
That's trying to be a joke. Yeah. Sure.
But if you want a really bad album cover, go... And this is also for the best music album with the worst CD cover, Mike Jones Live at the Green Mill. Mike Jones... Now, not the Mike Jones in Texas who raps.
No. You know, this is...
But the...
our pal Mike Jones.
Yeah, our pal Mike Jones. Probably the greatest, you know, bebop jazz piano player alive today.
There's a windmill on the cover of that.
Yeah, yeah. And it was done by the receptionist, you know, who painted this and put it on, the windmill cover. It's atrocious.
Was he unconscious? Had he been in an accident and was in a coma during...
It's atrocious. And it's the Green Mill. It's not the Green Windmill. I mean... And even the lettering on his sucks. You know, at least, I don't know. Certainly, you can't put the Aristocrats in that category. Or at least, I hope you can't. Let's get off this. I'm getting bummed. I'm getting so bummed. I thought this would cheer me up, because I thought that...
You want something to cheer you up? We have an email that will cheer you up. We do.
I need to be cheered up,
please. This is from Tiffany.
Oh, Tiffany.
Tiffany sent this in. Tiffany, a lovely name. She says she loves the show. Yeah.
It means a lot to us when you say nice stuff.
Does.
It really does.
It does, but I don't want to read that on the air. You know, that just seems like we're, you know, smooching our own butts. She says that our radio show is promoting family bonding. She was watching Celebrity Fit Club with her angsty 13-year-old son last week when, lo and behold...
Angsty. Oh, I like her. Slow down to this letter. I like...
Lo and behold,
there you go.
There's Bruce Valanche on an escalator.
Dude, this Celebrity Fit Club just has what? They have fat people on escalators?
I have not seen Celebrity Fit Club, but we did say Bruce Valanche on an escalator was the cutest thing.
If you are an angst-filled 13-year-old, what could feed that angst more than, what's it called, Celebrity Fit Club. Oh, man. that would fill you with hate.
Without even thinking about it, we both started chanting, fall, fall, fall. When he didn't fall, my son looked at me and said, God damn it, that would have been cute. Her heart swelled with pride. He's like 13.
13 years old.
She sends her love.
Now, this, we don't want to be
we're
like...
Bringing them together.
The reason they said that was it was a joke that Robbie Libben gave
us,
who works for us, and I think is one of the funniest guys in the world. And he was talking about the... the article that was in the Times a while ago about defining
cute. Magazine, defining cute.
And it said that, you know, pudgy and eyes at the center and
body fuzz,
uncoordinated limbs,
round.
All were genetically built into us, hardwired cute. And Robbie Libben then said, you know, Moxie may be cute, but the cutest thing in the world would be Bruce Belanger falling down an escalator. And then, and this is, gets theological, you know, there must be a kind of benevolent God who would put after
deliver
our radio show
us.
Would deliver Bruce Belanger on an escalator. That's great. She claims, Tiffany claims, that she and her angst-ridden 13-year-old son were chanting together,
fall, fall, fall.
Man, can we just nominate right now that kid for president? Like in 2050, wouldn't it be great to have
second the nomination.
Of the kid who chanted,
kid,
fall, fall, fall,
fall, fall.
I also want to get to that.
Tiffany's son.
Tiffany's son. And that's what that's the name you should keep.
Tiffany's son. Swear. That way we'll recognize him later.
Do you, Tiffany's son, swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America? I, Tiffany's son. Tell us about the Daily News.
Well, the Daily News thing, this is terrific.
Yeah, this is like great. Yesterday. But this is the thing. Someone just wrote to us and said, we say good morning on the air, and it's actually on at 2 in the afternoon in New York City. We know that, but we're in show business, and 2 o'clock in the afternoon
still morning.
And here, it's 11 o'clock, which is deep, deep, deep night here in Vegas. So good morning at 2 in the afternoon is good enough for you, so shut up and take it. Send that person a DVD. And make sure Tiffany gets two DVDs.
Tiffany will
one,
get two DVDs.
And they'll be signed by Paul Prevenza and Penn Jillette to Tiffany's son, and they will have the sticker on the cover.
You're making this complex, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to make it really hard for Farley, because Farley listens. So when I say stuff like this, Farley will have to do
take
it.
Take notes on that, Farley.
Farley, Tiffany's son gets that special DVD. Also, I got to tell you, don't let us send a DVD to you if you're under 18 years old. That would be wrong. This movie is filthy.
Oh, man.
Right? I just said send it to a 13-year-old.
You did. We're sending it to Tiffany. If she shows it to him, that's her choice.
But we advise against it.
We advise against
it. And don't drink Sterno, even if you do strain it through bread like they taught you in Boy Scouts.
You know, a lot of people have written to say that is poisonous. It's a wood alcohol, so it's still poisonous. Strained.
Yeah, of course it's poisonous.
I haven't checked it.
Alcohol itself is poisonous. And you don't drink.
I don't drink.
No, we don't drink Sterno. We don't drink alcohol. We drink nothing. We're dehydrated here in the desert.
Kool-Aid.
Okay, you've only got a little while, but go ahead, read this Daily News thing. It's insane.
Okay.
Yeah. This is from yesterday, because the news that Godot and I discuss and hit is never topical.
Never.
By 2 in the afternoon, it's too late to talk about the news of the day. So we're going to talk about the news of the month or so. So this came out like yesterday or something.
Okay.
Go ahead, hit it.
Judging by Craigslist ad posted on behalf of Penn and Teller on their profanely titled show BS, the list touts today's New York audition for a couple who has saved their virginity for marriage. And you must be willing to talk openly on camera both pre- and post-wedding day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My intrepid Daily News colleague Dawn Eden, who's writing a book on abstinence titled The Thrill of the Chaste. Nice title. Immediately suspected that the irreverent comedy magic duo team simply wants to mock those gentle souls.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the case? Do you want to mock those gentle souls?
I don't think so. We haven't written the whole show of virginity yet. I don't think we're going to be mocking people who make that choice. But I do want to say that saving virginity for marriage is a kink. It's just a kinky thing that some people choose to do. And I think if you've watched BS, which the people in the Daily News clearly haven't.
They did. No, this is the aim of the show, is to expose ideas they believe to be unscientific or pseudoscientific through critical thinking and scientific skepticism.
Oh, that is true. That's true.
So how? So they want to know how we're planning on...
A very, very good question.
I think
in virginity we're going to talk about the fact that virginity being sacred or mandatory for a marriage or relationship is BS. But I will certainly not mock, and I can tell you this right now, the Daily News, I don't know, I guess probably everything else they've ever written has been accurate. But on this particular thing, and they're not saying it's definite, they're saying that they
just question our motives.
Question our motives, which I think is a very good thing. But I want to say,
you should check our motives.
This is very important. The show BS, Penn and Teller's BS, is, I believe, fair and very, very biased. We're extremely biased, but we're fair.
We do a lot of research.
People get to state their case. We don't ever not let them state their case. And then we make our comments on that. We state our case. But we do not do that Michael Moore stuff of here's a guy, you know, spitting on his comb, therefore we shouldn't be at war. You know,
right.
We don't do any of that kind of stuff. We try to keep fair. And very biased. You know where we're at, you know. I'm certainly not a fan of virginity. I do not like virginity. I think if you're going to have someone fix your TV set, you want some experience, the same thing with sex. We're going to be back. This is Penn Jillette, Michael Goudeau. We're in Las Vegas. Make me feel better about the cover. The Aristocrats cover is really great, isn't it? It really is.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
I love that dog.
You are such a great suck-up.
I'm free.
That's Mike Jones playing the piano and writing the big theme to the Penn Jillette Show here in Las Vegas. And if you want to get the album, the LP, the CD that has the worst cover with the best record inside, go to Amazon, pick up Mike Jones.
Mike Jones Trio.
Live at the Green Mill, the Mike Jones Trio. Man, that swings so hard, it hurts. And the album cover is so terrible that you can win any bet. Anybody that says they have the worst album cover. And I want to thank, man, to John Lovejoy. Who sent us Run Lola Run.
Yeah.
And the cover is just dog-awful, horrible, and it's bad in every way. Dazzling, exhilarating, stunning. And they kind of have the two people kissing who were lined up like they were her breasts or something. Horrible. And Run Lola Run was a really good movie. It's a really fine movie, and there's no way to tell from this DVD cover. So whether you like the cover of The Aristocrats or not, it's a great... What did Previn say, Jason Alexander said?
Jason Alexander said, it looks like the producer's poster done by a retard with Photoshop.
Jason Alexander in The Aristocrats is so funny. He's just great. He does this line in the movie, and when you see the movie in the DVD, you will laugh because it's funny. He says, "That's not an animal. That wasn't an animal." And out of context, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But when Jason Alexander says, "That wasn't an animal. That wasn't an animal." And when Paul Reiser says, "Maybe a little better." See, these are the clean, like the two sentences that are able to say on the radio. And this is Penn Jillette on the radio on Free FM with Michael Goudeau.
You know what I missed on the Daily News thing? You want to go with that first?
Yeah.
You know, after all that, the...
this woman who's writing your book about Chaste, yeah.
Yeah, she called Showtime's rep, and their response was, "Dear Dawn, thanks for your thoughts. We'll keep you in mind should something more appropriate come up."
Oh, that's so great. It's so great because, you know...
Yeah, she emailed, "How is saving one's virginity from marriage evidence of an ulterior motive or pseudoscientific thinking?"
Uh-huh. Well, it certainly is.
We'll contact you if something more appropriate comes up.
It certainly isn't. It's neither pseudoscience. But that's a good question. I'm totally on her side.
Yeah.
Except for the virginity thing. But I'm totally on her side for saying what's pseudoscientific about this. We got a phone call. Let's take a phone call. Armando, who is, if you're listening in New York, he's on line 6. If you're playing at home, he's on line 6. Armando?
Yeah.
How you doing, boss?
I'm doing all right. Love your show. You guys are doing great.
Oh, thanks so much,
thanks,
man.
Armando.
Well, I'm calling because I wonder what inspired you to do a movie like The Aristocrats.
You know, it all started with jazz. You know, Previnz and I, Paul Previnz, who's the director and the co-creator of this with me, we were talking about jazz, you know, because I got really crazy for bebop music and, you know, Mingus and Miles and all that stuff. We were talking about improvised solos, you know, the backbone of jazz, a masterpiece before midnight. And we were talking about what makes a jazz solo. You know, it's some stuff is just theory and technique, and you know what scales work over. The other thing is, like, you know, quotes from other people who've done great jazz solos. The third is riffs that you use kind of all the time. And then there's that real moment of improvisation that is none of those, but is really speaking from your heart. And we compared that to comedy improvisation and how people improvise comedy. It ended up with a discussion between me and Previnza comparing Gilbert Gottfried's riffing to Miles Davis's riffing. And we talked about that for hours and then said, you know, you always get to hear musicians play the same tunes. They blow solos over the same changes, but you never hear comedians tell the same joke. And we decided to call our friends, and our friends include an awful lot of professional comedians because we love them, and have them tell the same dirty joke. And the DVD, you know, in the theater, it's, you know, an hour and a half long, but we had 140 hours of tape of comedians telling these jokes. So the DVD has 2 hours of extras. And the CD, there's a CD out too, which has a cover that I love. It's austere and simple and black. It's on V2. It's a CD. And the CD, the DVD, and the movie are all different stuff. So that's what inspired us, boss. And you know what? If you tell the guys on the line that your name and address, I'll send you one. Do you want one?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Cool. We'll send you on that because I want to ask. What?
Where did the banjo sandwich come in on this?
Well, you were around for the banjo sandwich.
For the banjo sandwich day.
Now, when we were doing our shows in Chicago as a test, you tried to tell a totally visual joke on the radio, and you crashed and burned. You tried the turtle joke.
Yes.
So I've been avoiding telling banjo sandwich.
Can't tell the banjo sandwich joke.
We can't tell it. We can't tell it. But that's where it started. We were doing Sin City.
Right.
And. Sin City Spectacular was a show that Michael Godeau was writing on and that I was in. It was Penn & Teller's Sin City Spectacular, shot here in Vegas, Sin City. And Jay Marshall, who's now dead, but I believe one of the funniest and most beautiful men that ever lived.
Right.
I love Jay. He was on Ed Sullivan, you know, let's just...
And Sin City Spectacular.
Yes, he was on Ed Sullivan a zillion times.
Right.
He was on Sin City Spectacular once. Because we're pickier.
We didn't run that long.
We're much pickier than Ed was.
We would have had him back, I think.
I think we would have, yeah.
Had both.
Mac King, who's a magician in town, who is dead to me. Mac King asked Jay Marshall.
He's no longer dead to you. It was over.
It's over.
The feud is over. Let it go.
Okay.
Don't bring it back up.
Mac King.
Mac is hurt by this.
Paxson. Paxson's Mac's real name. You know?
Now he's really mad. Now you're dead to him.
Mac King asked Jay Marshall for the funniest joke that he knew. Or, no, he wanted a list of jokes, a catalog, which Jay could do, you know.
Right.
A catalog of jokes that had a completely visual punchline. You set it up verbally, completely visual punchline. And Jay had told him the banjo sandwich joke. And just as Jay got to the punchline, Mac King was laughing. I walked up and I said, "What are you laughing at?" He said, "Oh, Jay just told this great joke." And Jay, I said, "What is it?" And Jay said, "Oh, I'm tired, Mac. You tell it." So Mac told me the banjo sandwich. And at that time, someone else walked up and said, "What are you laughing at, Penn?" And I said, "Oh, Mac just told this great joke from Jay." And Mac said, "You tell it." And I told him. By the time it got to you,
yeah,
it was like four
there were already
or five
eight
people
standing in a circle waiting for the next
person
to tell
the joke. And then it was Gilbert Gottfried,
yeah,
and who else? Kevin Meaney.
Kevin Meaney was there.
And a few of the writers. And we got to hear all these versions of the same joke. And that was also percolating. I told Provenza the banjo sandwich joke, and he was the banjo sandwich story.
Right.
You know? So the idea of a lot of comedians telling the same joke, really seeing it riff. And also the feeling, you know, there's this great feeling. If you go to see Robin Williams and then
right,
you go backstage, or anybody you go backstage, there's this vibe that happens when comedians get together. And it's not really, you know, one-upmanship or trying to outdo each other. It's just having fun.
And
it gets
fun.
Raunchy and
it's
filthy, and it's just crazy. And what we wanted to do with the Aristocrats was invite people into that. Just say,
right,
hey,
sure,
we're going to use a lot of dirty
right
words. You probably don't want to come.
Sure.
If you're Penn's sister, wouldn't you be better off knitting? Would that be a fun thing? Why don't you sit with your cat, Maggie, which my wife tortures?
You sound like this is an insult. You're being mean to your sister here.
I'm not.
You know, she was upset you told her age on the radio yesterday, too.
I didn't tell her age. I said she was 23 years older than me, and in that same show, I did not say my age. Other show, but that would be
the
presumptuous.
The first thing after the show your sister said was, why did he tell everybody how old I was?
Well, that would be presumptuous to assume that every single person listens to every one of these shows. They are little nuggets. You
okay
happen to hear a little bit of it. So my age for today is a mystery, but my sister's 23 years older than me. If you want to tune in later, I might mention my age in another show, but that'll keep them tuning in. No, it's not an insult. If you don't like dirty words and jokes, there's a lot of great things to do. I wasn't saying knitting like this is a terrible...
You
yes,
made
I
it
was
sound like knitting was uninteresting.
I was. I don't know how to knit.
So it may be fabulous.
It might be the greatest
and maybe
thing
we should be doing it backstage.
We should probably be knitting backstage. And maybe knitting is better than hanging out backstage with Paul Reise and Robin Williams. I don't know. And maybe the album, the cover for The Aristocrats is a fabulous cover. But I'll tell you, the Run Lola Run thing made me feel great.
We got one for another one. Emily from Montmartre. Did you ever see that? Did you see that movie?
Was it?
Emily from Montmartre.
Oh, that's so, yeah.
I like that movie.
I love that
terrible
movie.
Terrible. cover.
Yeah, what is it? What is it, Emily?
Yeah, A.
Oh, it's spelled like it's like French Emily.
E L I E. Yeah.
A I M.
A M E L I E.
A M E L I E.
Yeah.
Let me see the cover on this one. Oh man!
I know.
Oh, do I feel great? Oh, who sent that? Who sent that in?
I got to back up to find out.
Oh! Oh! Oh, Jim, Emily! Jim, oh.
Bolt. Jim Bolt sent that
oh,
in.
Oh, Jim, I love you. I Jim, if you come to the show, talk to me afterwards. I want to give you things. Oh, man, because Emily was a good movie.
It's a good movie, and that's a beautiful girl, and that picture is really appalling.
It's a beautiful girl. It's an ugly picture of her.
It's a great
movie.
And
it's a horrible cover. It's a great... So we're not alone. Mike Jones, Live at the Green Mill. Now,
it's a fine album.
The Aristocrats CD, which is out now. The Aristocrats DVD is not out yet. It's on V2, and it's got a really classy cover. It's like just the Aristocrats in script, and it says, you know, no nudity, no violence, unspeakable. No, it doesn't say no nudity because it's a CD, but it says something like that. Unspeakable obscenity.
Some nudity.
Some nudity. And it's just... It's a really good CD. Provenz did that too. Provenz's whole life for the past 4.5 years, maybe 5 years, Provenz's entire life has been working on the Aristocrats.
And now it is summed up in a cover with a dog on it.
Oh man, Provenz, you know, Provenz. For me, you know, it's kind of bad to not like the cover of your own DVD, but Provenza, man, it was like he was gonna cry. You know, he was saying stuff like, how could I ever show my friends this at a store? It was just horrible. But it doesn't matter, Provenz, because everything's going electronic. There won't be, you know, like album covers used to matter.
Right.
Then they get down to the size of CDs. And now they're on your iTunes. They're just a little postage stamp size thing. And they don't matter at all. So even album covers that you like, you really didn't like Stevie
right,
Wonder Talking
sure.
Book, it's just down, it's down little and you don't even notice it. So Provenz,
right.
in 5 years. Years, 3 years, everything will be, you know, you just have it on the hard disk and you'll be downloading it. There'll be a little thing that just says the Aristocrats in script, just what we always wanted
yeah,
to be beautiful.
You know, we're going to lose Herb Alpert with
And Other Delights and the Ohio Players, Honey.
Honey, yeah, you're going to lose those.
The Ohio Players, Herb Alpert. There's also great Ice-T covers. Ice-T's covers. Oh, man. Is Ice-T.
That's a man knows how to sell a DVD.
CD, and an album. Ice-T knows how to do everything. He was at our show the other night, and you know, he was on
Sin City.
We had
him on to do a magic trick, and he killed.
He did Hippity Hop Rabbits for a bunch of kids. He did his gangsta version of Hippity Hop Rabbits. Ice-T, man, every time he comes to town, he comes to our show, and he brings backstage with him cool people. He tells stories. He's just so cool and so funny. I love Ice-T. And he has good album covers. He's fabulous. But on our
Maybe
show,
we should call his art guy and see if he'll do yours.
Well, I've got the sticker. If you get a DVD, if you get the DVD from
maybe
me,
maybe his art guy will make a new sticker for you.
Or maybe there'll be a re-release. You know, like after we're dead, maybe Moxie will re-release the Aristocrats in 25 years if someone cares, and she'll put on it. You know, a really nice the cover Dad would have loved or something. You know, be really, really sweet about the whole thing. This whole week, we're going to be giving away Aristocrats DVDs. You can also get the CD, I mean, V2. You can go right, I think that Amazon must have that, too. Go in the CD department, the CD. I mean, I know this is an awful lot of stuff to pimp on one subject, but I got to tell you, the DVD's really, really good, and the CD's really good. And if you saw the movie, you got to have both of them. And this is Penn Jillette, and I'm sitting here with Michael Goudeau, and I want to thank John Lovejoy, my new best friend in the world. For pointing out Run Lola Run. What was the name of the guy that showed me the other one?
Emily, I don't remember the guy's
Emily's
name.
Jim something. Anyway, Jim, John, you're real brothers. We love you both. You're great, great, great men of our time. We'll be back tomorrow talking about stuff like this. We love you all from Las Vegas.